to remind you of some things that we need to be reminded of tonight. I've preached before, but I just want to remind us of them in Luke's Gospel, chapter 11. Got home this evening, and my wife went to chiropractor today and took some x-rays and looked at some things and found out that she's got a compression fracture in her neck, in the vertebrae in her neck. She was going into our attic a few months ago, and she didn't get the door all the way open. She stepped back. The door of the attic fell down on her head, jammed her neck, and exploded one of her vertebrae, fractured, and it was a compression fracture. We're not sure what all that means. She's got some other things going on. Possibly, I don't know, possibly an aneurysm or a tumor. We don't know. But God knows. But when she began to tell me those things, that fear that enemy wants to bring wanted to come. I said, no, I'm not going down that road. I've got a God that answers prayer. I've got a God. I'm going to tell you something. If you don't learn the power of prayer, you better learn it, or this day and hour is going to overwhelm you and you're not going to make it. I promise you, you're simply going to be overwhelmed with this hour. Anything less than a praying church is going to be absolutely out of it. Not going to make it in this last hour in which we live. We're in a time in which we need to be able to get a hold of God. We need to be able to sing that song, have faith in God, because faith prays. That's the activity of faith. It prays. It goes to God. It seeks the Lord. It cries out to God because it knows what He can do and knows that He is willing to do that. And there are numerous requests, and I want us to go, and there's other requests that I want to make to you tonight, but I want to talk to you a minute about prayer, and then we're going to give some requests, and I want us to come and spend some time on our knees before the Lord tonight and seek God, because this is a place where you and I are going to have to learn to stay, or we simply are not going to prevail. That's just the way it is, and not just things like this, the overwhelming circumstances, but on a daily basis, we have got to be a praying people who stay on our faces before God about everything in life, that we live in communion with Father, that we know that our God is with us and that He's going to help us, and that we will see this business through. And I know that God's going to do it. I'd like you to turn to Luke chapter 11. I'm going to read, please, at verse 1. I just got through verse 13. There's some things I just want to share with you here and remind you of before we call you to a time of prayer here this evening. Luke 11, please, and verse 1. You can stand, please. And it came to pass that as He was praying in a certain place, when He ceased, one of His disciples said unto Him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And He said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And He said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed, and I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them.
Your name, sanctified be your name. Do you ever get tired? Are you getting any bit, a little bit sick and tired of the world's blasphemy against a holy and a wonderful God? Are you anywhere getting weary and tired so that you're saying, God, come and vindicate your name. Come, Lord, and sanctify your name and let your name be exalted again among the heathen, because it's become a byword. It's become a password. It's become something that is just thrown off as if it's just to be some portion of our life somewhere. My daughter got a comment today from someone whom she babysits for and asked him, said, you know, were we about our tax-free status with the government, because reads our sign and says a lot of our signs are political in nature. I got news for you. Those signs are not political. Those signs are not about a political party or a political platform. They're about truth. They're about truth. And I can't relegate truth to some part of my life. I can't divorce my politics from my convictions. I can't separate who I vote for what I believe. A man lives by the word of God. He lives not by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I can't segment my life into compartments. I'm a whole man living by principles, and those principles affect everything I do, everything I say, every place I go, and all that I am. Hallelujah. Not about WPC.
Right.
It's not about a 501c3 corporation. It's not about a tax exempt status. It's not about freedom of speech. It's about the proclamation of truth.
Right.
With the pillar and ground of the truth. And God's name is above every name. And it deserves to be glorified.
Right. Amen.
Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. As in heaven, so in earth. I'll tell you why we don't pray. Because we're really not concerned about doing what God wants. I'm going to tell you something. If you go and have a heart to do what God wants, you're going to find some opposition. You're going to find there's a kingdom out there that's against you. It's looking to destroy you, looking to oppose you, to be an obstacle in your path. And somewhere what we've got to see, the reason we don't pray is because we really are not concerned about the kingdom of God being manifest on this earth. I'm telling you, I'm concerned about that. I'm hearing it all across the scene. I'm telling you something right now. This Pentecostal message is dying. You can say what you want to, and it ain't God's fault, and it doesn't mean God's failed or God's left or vacated the throne. It doesn't mean that at all. But I'm telling you, we are training the raw power of God for human inventions, for human energy, and the power of personality. I'm telling you, I'm tired and weary of it. Somewhere I say, let the power of God be demonstrated again. Let a man be converted and saved and delivered from his sins. And let that be the evidence, not some kind of argument I make, but the living demonstration of the change in the power of God, because the kingdom has come and I've been delivered from the power of darkness and brought into the kingdom of the Son of God.
Glory to God. Yeah.
And when you understand this, you can understand why our prayer life gets hindered. You understand why we don't spend time in prayer. Any little disobedience will keep you from the prayer closet.
Right. Amen.
Any little spirit of rebellion will keep you from the prayer closet.
Amen.
Amen. Any little bit of self-glory and pride will keep you from the prayer closet. Any little bit of sense that I'm really okay, I've got everything in control. I don't know, you know, I know what we mean many times when we say it, but sometimes I don't think we realize, well, I'm glad God was there when I needed Him. The implication is there were times you didn't need Him. I know what we say. It was a dire need. We were overwhelmed and God was there. And I understand that. But I want you to understand a little bit further than that. You need God every day. He's not just when you need Him. It's I need Him, period. When I get up, I need Him to breathe. I need Him to put one foot on the floor. I need Him to help me to get out of bed and get up in the morning. I need Him to help me to know when to go to bed. I need Him to help me in everything that I do. I need God. Any sense of self-reliance will keep you out of the prayer closet. Give us day by day our daily bread. It's not give us daily our daily bread. It's give us day by day. Day unto day. Day by day our daily bread. That's two things. He said, why didn't he just say give us day by day our bread? There's two things going on here. First of all, it's give me day by day. Lord, I'm not expecting to hoard up tomorrow's grace. I'm not expecting that you can come and give me a supply that's going to last me. I'm expecting to come to you tomorrow for tomorrow's supply. And I'm expecting every day to be a new experience in you. It's day by day. I need it. Day by day. This walk is not a weekly walk. It's not an annual walk. It's not a Christmas and Easter message. It is a daily walk whereby you and I and the man that's not interested in walking with God every day will never develop a life of prayer. Please understand me tonight. You need this. I need this. We've got to have it. Oh, Brother Woods, I've heard so many messages on prayer. That's our problem. But we're not getting it right somewhere. Somewhere we've got to become a people who are going to seek God. And we're never going to get busy about the business of prayer until we become a people who say, Lord, I want a fresh experience every day. We're content with last year's experience. We're content with what God showed us a year ago. We're content with some little favorite scripture that comes to our mind once in a while. I don't want that. I want a fresh new touch of God every day. I want a fresh move of the Holy Ghost in my soul. I want to know God's will now, tonight, on Wednesday, October the 26th, 2011. If there's no hunger in your heart for a fresh experience with God every day, you will never become a praying person. Right. Never. Right. May God give us our daily bread. Just give me what I need that day. Give me the bread I need for that day, Lord. Amen. The man was looking for that day's supply and realizing he needs to talk to God for that day's supply will become a praying man. Yeah. Forgive us our debts. As we forgive everyone, not some, but everyone that is indebted to us. Forgive us our debts. And he's not just talking about money. You can owe people more than money. The Bible says, owe no man anything. And in that context, in Romans chapter 13, when he mentioned owe no man anything, he mentioned it not so much in a context of money, but a context of respect and reverence. There are people in this world that you and I owe respect to, and the failure to give it leaves us in debt. Amen. Amen. There are husbands that need to be honored by their wives. There are wives that need to be shown respect by their husbands. There are parents that need to be respected by their children. Our children need to be, in some sense, regarded as treasures and gifts of God by their parents. There are elders, there are employers, there are civil officials. It doesn't matter where it's at. That's something we've got. It's a debt that we owe to people, and the failure to give it. It may be such you didn't treat a brother like you needed to treat him. Rub it under the rug if you want to. Say it doesn't make a difference. It does make a difference. The only man that's going to go in that prayer closet is a man that said, I've constantly want to keep myself. I've exercised myself that I may have a conscience void of offense towards God and man. I'm concerned about my relationship with my brother, and I understand my relationship with my brother affects my relationship with my God. You can't fuss with your wife and go get intimate with God. You hear me tonight? You can't sit and bless out the neighbor and go get intimate with God. You can't fuss and get all carnal in your spirit and get your spirit all full of anger and frustration and aggravation and then go try to get on your knees and talk to God. It isn't going to happen, my friend. You know, you're not going to be a praying person. Or the man and woman's going to be a praying person. If man and woman says, I got to be careful about how I treat my brother. I got to be careful about what I say. I got to be careful about what I do. I've got to be careful. And when that, they owe me something. That's why I said, we forgive those indebted. Somebody owes you something. Somebody owes you some respect. Somebody owes you some honor. Somebody might owe you some money. Somebody might owe you something. It doesn't matter what it is. They might owe you any kind of thing. Whether it be a possession. Whether it be some kind of an apology. They might owe you something, but you're able to forgive that debt. You're able to pass off and write that thing off. Why? Because you've learned that there's a God in heaven who's forgiven you everything. Oh, Brother Wood. much I can't forgive. Don't tell me you can't forgive. There's an infinite God who's ready to pour out His love in your heart and lift you above every carnal thing in this world so you can be filled with the charity and the love of the brethren. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Some people, when I was asked by a brother not so long ago in a Bible study, said, why? Why did he say that? And lead us not into temptation. I mean, God's not going to lead you into temptation. Why do you even say it? Why would we say, God, don't lead me into temptation? Because God wouldn't lead you into temptation to begin with. That's a true statement. But that's not the essence of why it's stated. It's not stated thinking and knowing that God's going to lead it into temptation. It's stated because it's expressing the heart of this brethren. Expressing the heart of the saint. It's all throughout the Scripture in this kind of manner. You can go in the Old Testament. You can read the Psalms where he talks about, Lord, teach me your ways. Well, what else is he going to teach you? He's not going to teach you the ways of the devil. The only ways God is going to teach are His ways. Lord, don't let me fall into the snare of the enemy. Well, He wouldn't let you fall into the snare of the enemy on purpose or something like that. No, that's not the point. It's not so much what God would do. It's the fact that this man is expressing his heart. And by so doing, he is saying, God, I'm not interested in falling prey to the devil today. I'm not interested in going down his road. I don't want to become a quick lunch for the devil. I want to be your servant. I want to walk in your paths of righteousness. We do it all the time. We tell God where we don't want to go and where we do want to go. That's all right. Because for you to desire holiness, you've got to have a hatred for sin. You cannot love holiness and love sin at the same time. This message has got a negative and it's got a positive. It's I don't want to go there. I do want to go there. I don't want to disobey. I want to obey. I don't want to go down. I want to go up. I don't want to go backward. I want to go forward. A heart of the man who wants to live right. We live in prayer with God. Now quickly, in light of this, that's what will bring us to prayer. The heart behind that prayer will put you in your closet. Will drive you to the secret place of the Most High God. If you're not being driven to prayer, and if you're not finding more time on your knees with God, you're coming up short in one of those areas. There's an attitude you've developed. There's something that's got in your spirit. There's some thought that's got in your mind. There's some opinion that you're holding that you shouldn't hold. There's something that's entered into your life and has become an offense, a wall of separation between you and God. And therefore, you don't have the incentive. You don't have the drive. You don't have the desire to pray. Get it clean. Get it washed. Go to God and make it right. And say, teach me to pray, Lord. Teach me to pray. And then it gives two parables as an incentive to teach us something about God's nature as an incentive to pray. The first of those is that God is our friend. If you love Him and you seek to obey Him, God is your friend. He is an enemy to the rebellious only. He is a friend to the righteous. Hallelujah. The parable is such that there's a man who's got a friend, or a friend that surprises him. Life's full of surprises, I stated that. He shows up at a most inopportune time, midnight. But you got to remember, in these days, cellular phones didn't exist. You could call ahead and say, I'm coming in late tonight. Pony Express hadn't even come yet. Romans had mail service, but it didn't operate on this kind of schedule. And even if a man tells you when he's going to come and see you, you're still not going to know the day and hour because he might get held up on the road. He might lose a wagon wheel, might get him delayed for a week or two or three days. And so although you might know an approximate time, you're still not going to know the hour. Your friend might just show up. But he finally arrives on your doorstep at midnight, wakes you up. You want to rejoice, you want to sit down, you want to give him something to eat, you want to fellowship, you want to have communion. But the problem is you don't have anything to offer. But you got another friend. So you go to that friend. And that's what he did. His first friend put him in a hot box. So he went to his second friend to get him out of his hot box. And he knocked on that door at midnight and said, could you lend me 3 loaves? I got a friend that's come to me in the journey. And I need to help him. And I need to feed him tonight. He didn't argue with him that you shouldn't give your friend bread tonight. He said, I can't. I'm not going to get up. It's too much trouble. My children are in bed with me. But you got to understand, we're talking about the East and not the West here. They didn't sleep in everybody in their own bed and everybody in their own room. They all slept on the floor. The whole family's scattered out on the floor. Mom and daddy's got their pallet over here. This child's a pallet over here. This child's a pallet. And they're scattered about like cordwood. If he gets out of here, he's up off the floor and walks to the door. He's going to step over his kids. He's going to probably wake them up. He's going to bump into them. It's nighttime. He's got to scramble around. You can't flip a switch in those days. Let's just understand that. He's got to find the candle. He's got to light it. So he can find the door. He's going to step on some kid or something. Somebody's going to wake up. And it's just too much trouble. Don't do it now. It's too much trouble. Come back and see me in the morning when everybody's awake. And the Bible said he will not get up because he's his friend. He does not have enough concern for that man to help him out of his friendship. There's only one reason he gets out of that bed. It's because that man is going to do anyway what he's going to do by getting out of bed. An incessant knocking at the door is going to wake the kids up anyway. So what have I got to lose? Get rid of this crowd. Get rid of this fella and get him off my front doorstep so I can go back and get to sleep. That is not how God is. You hear me? That is not how God is. I'm not going to a friend. And the problem is this. I've got a friend that's come to me. There's a world that out there that needs something. They want some bread. They want to come to the house of God. And they want to know a way out of their sin. But sometimes we're lacking. So we go to our friend and say, God, I need you to touch and give us bread so we can feed the hungry that are in need in this hour. We go to God as if he's a distant relative rather than a close friend. We pray as if he's just somebody out there that we hardly know. Our conversation is so casual. It's not intimate. It's not honest. It's not deep. It's not forthright. It's just casual religious rhetoric. To some generic God. But I'm here to tell you tonight, God is my friend. God is your friend. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter if it's midnight. It doesn't matter if it's 3 o'clock in the morning. It doesn't matter if it's on a Monday afternoon. It doesn't matter if it's 6 o'clock in the evening. If bread's needed, he's got a storehouse full. Glory to the Lamb of God. Oh, somewhere the reason we don't pray is we really don't think God loves us. We really don't think that he's a friend. Somewhere when we hit our knees, we got to know we're not talking to a tyrant. We're not talking to somebody who is some distant acquaintance. He's a friend. He's an intimate friend. He wants to commune. He's ready to give. He's ready to meet your need. He's ready to reach out and touch you. And somewhere we've got to get it through our fixed call. God wants to help me. God wants to teach me. God wants to lead me. God wants to feel me. God wants to heal me. Hallelujah. We struggle, we strain, we beat, we knock, we hit, we fuss, we get frustrated, we go back, we beat our head against the wall. The problem with us is we're not treating God like he's our friend. We're treating God like he's an enemy, like he's some kind of civil authority that we've got to go in and go through some formal process to get to him. You don't need an application. You don't need a formal process. There's no red tape in God's government. There's a direct access under the throne room of heaven. Just hit your knees, lift your hands, and cry out to your friend and say, God, I need you tonight. I need you in the midnight hour. Somebody's in need, and I want to help them out. And he's not only our friend, he's our father.
Even my earthly father. There are things about me he didn't understand. I know it. There were some things about me that he couldn't connect with. But I don't ever remember a time, Brother John, that when I had a real need, when there was something that I was in dire straits. It didn't matter if it's financial. It didn't matter if I needed prayer. I can't ever remember even one time that if I asked my daddy to help, he never refused me help. Not one time. I'm not talking about silly, childish things. Asking for something I didn't need and wanting something that wouldn't have done me any good. Oh no, he refused those requests the same as God will refuse those requests. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a real need. I'm talking about something that was necessary for my sustenance. I'm talking about something that affected my home and my family. I'm talking about something that affected my livelihood and affected my health and my spirituality. And never been a time if I said, Daddy, would you help me? I'm not sure here and I need some help. He never ever turned me away. He never turned me down. And I imagine many of you in this place can say the same thing. Even me, if you had sinner fathers, if there was an earnest need, he was there ready. How much more? How much? How much more have we got a Father in heaven who says, I birthed this child. I brought this child into the world. I brought them into the kingdom. They're mine. They belong to me. Flesh of my flesh and bone of my bones. And I will reach out and touch them as a child, as a father loves his child. We really don't see that God is our Father. We are more comfortable talking to our earthly fathers than our heavenly Father. You've got to get there. You've got to see it. You've got to get beyond where you're at and get down and say, all right, when I'm kneeling down today, I'm going to think of two things. God, you're my friend. Hallelujah. You're my friend. I've got brothers in this church. I don't know of any brother in this church that would refuse me anything if it's in their power to give it right now. I don't know of a one of you. I love every one of you. And I've had to go to brothers in this church. There's been some need I've had. Can I borrow this? Can I have this? I don't know of any brother in this church that's ever refused me. I just thought the other day I was talking about a few vehicles that I had that didn't turn out very good. And my mind went back. Most of you don't know. I'll just tell tonight. It's been so long ago. But I remember that I had an old van I needed to work on. I didn't have any money. I was here living on a little bit of nothing every week and pulled that thing in Brother CB's garage. But my brother Al Leggett, I didn't even know him that great yet. Hadn't been here that long. But he came and said, here's some money for you to be able to rebuild this thing. And I rebuilt the motor on that truck because of brother. I didn't even have to ask him. That's when he came. And he's my brother. I mean, he's not what God is, but how much more if a brother will do that, if around us, you wouldn't refuse anyone in this church. Any sometimes when we're upset with our brother, we'll still do something for them. We'll still help them out when they're in need. How much more will our Heavenly Father reach out His hand in love and generosity and give us what we need to have tonight? Thank you, Jesus. And I'm going to close it right here. I'm going to close it right here and I want you to listen. He puts something on us that we miss sometimes. He said, and how much more shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? Now why does He mention that in this place? Because that is your greatest need. Many times we think our greatest need is health or healing. Many times we think our greatest need is peace in the midst of the storm. Many times we think that our greatest need, and that is maybe our need at the moment, but we think that our need is money. Our need is some kind of word of instruction. But I'm here to tell you something. You can't divorce the emotional, physical, financial, spiritual,
psychological need or answer from the God that gives it. God's not in the business of giving things. He's in the business of giving Himself. Brother Woods, I'm in a storm and I need peace. Well, let me tell you where peace comes from. The presence of God in your life. Ooh, hallelujah. Well, Brother Woods, I'm in a need. I need finances. Well, let me tell you where your finances come from. The one that indwells you, that owns the cattle on a thousand hill, and everything under them, the earth and the fullness thereof, belong to the Lord. Brother Woods, I'm in need of healing. Then let me tell you something. What would you rather have? A touch of God or God Himself? What would you rather have? A pill or the physician? Glory to the Lamb of God. I'm telling you, somewhere we need to get a hunger for the presence of God that said, my greatest need is to have God in my life. Hallelujah. It's not a question of legality. It's not a question of whether or not I can get to heaven with or without the fullness of the Spirit. It ought not be a question of whether or not what I've got to do or what's going to happen to me when I'm filled. It ought to be one thing. I need Holy Spirit. I need Holy Spirit. I can't live without God. I don't want to live without God. I need the power and the unction and the anointing. I want more than a touch. I want the hand of God in my life. Would you stand to your feet right now and give Him thanks and praise in this house tonight? And oh God, teach us to pray. Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. Hallelujah. Teach us to pray, Lord. The reason we don't pray is because we don't want Holy Ghost. We don't want Holy Spirit. We want things from God, but we don't want God. We want possessions, but we don't want His presence. We want the little touches, but we don't want the constant communion and the constant fellowship with God. We're content with a little smile instead of living in the light of His countenance. We're content with just a little bit of a touch from God instead of having the anointed presence of the Messiah and the King of glory. Lord, teach me to pray. Lord, teach me to pray. Hallelujah. Woo!
Glory to God. Yes. Yes.
Woo! God, give me Holy Ghost. God, give me Holy Ghost. God, give me Holy Ghost. Give me Holy Ghost. Lord, teach me to pray. 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 Oh, Alabayana.